come and just grow in the grace of God. And I love you, Brother Shavers. I appreciate all that you've ever done for me and my family. Have your Bibles turn with us this morning to Psalms 128. Try to give you that we feel like it's the Lord's will this morning. And want to be conscious of the time, but also want to be most of all conscious to the Holy Spirit. And be obedient to Him. If you haven't found your place, we're going to stand in reverence of God's Word and read to you Psalms 128, and then try to preach to you this morning, God being our helper. You pray for us that God help us to help you. Verse number 1, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. You pray for us. We trust that God will help us this morning to preach God's holy word. I want you to notice here, now we have this psalm is right in the middle of, if you'll look in your Bibles, it says a song of degrees. There's 15 in all, and it's been said that this psalms or these songs of degrees were also called the Pilgrim Psalms. It's also called the Psalms of the Going Up. It's also been maybe called some other things, but it's believed that these psalms were maybe sung when the pilgrims would go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord during the days of the festivals and the feast and the times of worship and sacrifice, and they would read these psalms as they went. It's also believed that there was 15 steps on the temple there, and as the priest would go up, they'd stop on each step and sing one of these psalms. But we find that in tradition that the Jews also read some of these psalms at different parts in their life, different times when they would come together to maybe come to an important part in their life. And this particular psalm was a lot of times written or read there at times of marriage ceremonies or times when children were born. They would begin to read this psalm that God might bless that marriage and that home that was God had joined together, that He might have be like this man was. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways." We hear a lot of preaching today about a lot of different things, and we need a good Holy Ghost preaching on how we ought to live, but I'm afraid that we are lacking today in preaching what really godly homes ought to be about. Amen. Oh, we hear a lot how we're supposed to act at the job and how we're supposed to act at church, but I don't hear much preaching today on how we're supposed to act when it comes to a man and his wife and a man and his children. If God has helped me this morning, I want to preach to you about the home and tell you some things that will help you have a happy home. Amen. I'm sick and tired of seeing Christians or so-called Christians that's living this good old holiness way that Brother Shavers mentioned, but they have an unhappy home. It seems like they're miserable. Oh yeah, they smile when they're at church. They smile when you talk to them on the street. But everything is misery at the house. And God will not bless you. And God will not bless your church when you have a bunch of unhappy homes.
Amen.
So I want to preach to you a little while. Amen about that. First of all, this morning I believe, and this is not you, I hope you didn't come looking for nothing deep, because I don't have nothing deep this morning. But first of all, if you're going to have a happy home, now the Bible says you can have one. Blessed, that's what that word means in the Hebrew, means happy is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be. I just believe the Bible this morning, amen. I know that there's some out there that says, amen, that you can't be happy, and amen, that they'd rather have holiness as happiness. But you know what? I've always been happy with holiness. Amen. I've always been happy. Amen. Serving the Lord. Amen. If you find His ways grievous this morning, the Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. Amen. But I'm happy in the Lord. Amen. And I'm happy in my home. And you can have that same happiness today. But you know what? You'll never be happy in your home when you don't have the salvation of God in your heart. Amen. The first thing, amen. Amen. You try to go over there to Ephesians 5, and maybe we'll go over there in just a minute. You can go to, amen, Peter, where it talks about the order of the home. You can go, amen, even to Colossians and different places in the Bible and find out what a man and a woman ought to be in a home. But if you're not saved this morning, you're lacking something, amen, beyond a happy home, beyond anything else. The Bible says that God is love, amen. And I'm afraid today that Hollywood has painted a picture that love is an emotion. But let me remind you this morning that love is not an emotion. It is an attribute of God, amen. For in the Bible says in Galatians, I believe it is, that the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love, amen. And so you can't have love in a home, a love in your relationship, a love for your children like you were to, if you don't have the love of God, a birth in your heart. Without salvation, you can't be happy this morning, my friend. And so I say today, amen, before you even get over there to the order of the home, before you do anything else this morning, sir, you need to get born again, amen. Ma'am, you need to get born again. And second of all, this morning, what you need to do after you get born again is have a submissive heart. Now, what's this Bible say right here? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways. Now, I tell you what, amen, I heard a lot of people nowadays, and especially young people, and I'm not preaching about something, amen, that I think, amen, that I come from a great, a long heritage of where I come from, a great family, that I've never tasted any hardship. When I was 15 years old, my daddy left a note on the kitchen table and left the house and never tell me why he left or nothing else. He said, I don't love your mama no more and I'm just gone. And so I know what it's like to live in a home that has heartbreak. My wife, amen, her mom and daddy got married twice and got a divorce. And so she knows what it means to live in a home that's full of heartbreak. Break this morning. Amen. I know, amen, the repercussions. Amen. When the home goes bad. Amen. This morning. But you know what? I'm afraid there's a lot of people this morning that stuck together because of duty, and I appreciate that. Amen. But you're just going along to get along. And I'm telling you this morning, you can have more than that this morning. You can have more than duty. Amen. You can have more than just a home that stays together just because that's what you're supposed to do. But you can have happiness in your home today. Amen. But without a submissive heart towards God, you'll not be happy in your home. Now he says here in verse number 2, Lord, thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Well, I told you about these psalms being the pilgrim psalms or the psalms of the going up. It's a progressive psalms that they would sing on that first step and the second step. And before they got to the top of the sanctuary there, before they went into the temple, they would get to that praise psalms there, how that they would lift up their hands in the sanctuary. That was their goal, is to worship God. But you know in our homes today, amen, it starts out with work. And if it's going to work, it's going to end up in work. Amen. So many times today, Hollywood's painted this picture. Amen, that you just get married and everything's just all right. That everything just goes along and gets along. Amen, you're just in love and you bat your eyes towards one another and everything's going to be all right. Amen, but this world is full of heartache and heartbreak. Amen, if we're going to have happy homes, you'll have to labor. Amen, to have that happy home. The reason some of your homes is miserable this morning because you're lazy and you don't want to work on it. Amen. And I tell you what, we can have a happy home today, but we're going to have to work at it. But first of all, notice here in Psalms 127, amen, it says, except the Lord build the house, the labor is in vain. And so first of all today, amen, if you're going to have a happy home, you're going to have to realize that there's going to be some labor, amen, of the Lord, amen. Amen, the work of His hands that must go on. Amen, there's some things that you can't handle, and there's some things that I can't handle. There's some things that's beyond me this morning. But I sure am glad, like Brother Shavers was preaching this morning, if I just get in that highway and walk with Him, He's going to take care of me. Amen. I tell you what, preachers are falling by the wayside, running away with the, amen, the
piano player and the deacon's wife. Amen. Wives are running off with everybody else. And it used to be just the drunkards, and it used to be just the harlots, and it used to be just the whoremongers. Amen. They had family troubles, but it's moved into the church today. Amen. There's more preachers' wives than preachers running off with somebody else. But you know what? You might leave your wife tomorrow. A wife, you may leave your husband tomorrow. But I'm just going to lean on the everlasting arms of God and put my family in His hands. I tell you what, we can make it through this world. Amen. Amen. You ain't got to fall by the wayside. You ain't got to be another statistic. Amen. Amen. Somebody else. Amen. That didn't make it. Amen. God is on the throne. And if we'll put it in His hands, we can have a happy home. Amen. That's right. Walk in His ways. Amen. Amen. I'm tired of people making excuses and saying, well, we just can't do it today. My God's still on the throne. Amen. Amen. But I tell you what else, amen, we need to do to have a happy home. Not only labor of the Lord, the work of His hands, but you need to have a labor for a living, the work of your hands. And I told you this ain't deep and everything, but this is just right, amen. It says, thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. You know what one of the most number one reasons why there's divorce in this world today? It's because of money. Amen. And I love Brother Melby. He gives you the deepest, most profound thought ever on that subject of money. He says, amen, don't spend more than what you make. Amen. Now the Bible gives us, amen, a principle here. He said, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Also gives us the same principle, I believe it is, in Galatians chapter number 6, where it says, thou shalt reap what thou sow. In other words, you're going to get what you give. Amen. And if you're going to have money problems in this world, it's mainly because you want to live beyond what you're making in your hands. You say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with the home? It's got everything to do with the home. Amen. Amen. When you can't pay the bills, amen, and mama wants to blow the money and you want to blow the money and you want to do this and everything, but there ain't enough money to go around, guess what? It causes strife and uneasiness in the home, amen. And amen, there's a lot of divorces come about because you won't take care of the money situation in your house. The Bible says this in the book of Proverbs, I believe it is that the lender or the borrower is servant or slave to the lender. In other words, if you borrow, guess what? You've got one more master over your head. Amen. Amen. And I sowed seeds back when me and my wife first got married that I'm literally still paying for today. But you know what? I determined, amen, a few years ago that I was going to do what I could, amen, to get out from underneath that bondage where that money would never be an issue again between me and my wife. And if you love your wife and you love your home, you'll make that decision today, my friend, that you're going to get in, amen, in control of your money situation, amen, and do what God commands you to do, amen. Amen. Now, I know the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness. All these things should be added to you. But He also said, if a man don't work, he don't eat. Amen. Amen. I tell you what. Amen. And we're not so much, amen, money's not so much our problem today, but it's materialism. Amen. And you'll read that same Psalms 127. He said, let me just go ahead and read it to you. Amen. It says there in verse number 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. We're so eat up with materialism, amen, that we're not just making a living now. Days. Amen. But we're working that we might live a leisure life. Amen. And we're so full of it and so full of materialism. Amen. That it's coming our homes. Amen. And there's no happiness with you and your spouse.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, I didn't expect you to shout this morning, amen. Amen. I'm telling you what, amen. I'm glad the Word of God, amen, can be applied, amen, to our life, amen. Oh, yes. I'm glad if you get control of your money. Hey, there's enough things out there that comes against the home, amen, to have just something green, amen, that comes in between you and your wife. Amen. Appreciate what the preacher said. I guess it was last night. Amen. If you have to buy at the thrift store, buy at the thrift store. Ain't a thing wrong with that. Thank God for clothes, amen. Amen. But I tell you what, ain't none of us hurting for clothes this morning. Amen. Ain't none of us hurting for driving. A lot of nice vehicles out there. It's amazing to me, amen, but we got to have more and more and more and more. Covenants and all that kind of things. But I tell you what, if you want to have happiness in your home, you'll put materialism aside, amen, and seek the Lord. Amen. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. Well, notice what it says there in 127, right under that where I read there. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Another two thing I think goes right along with that labor is some of us work too much. There's not a thing wrong with hard working. Hey man, some of our forefathers, they got up in the morning when the sun come up. Hey, they went back to the house when the sun went down, and they went to bed and they rest. But you know what we do today? We got electricity and everything else. Hey man, we go to work early in the morning. We get home, we stay up in the middle of the night still working or pleasuring or following after the things of the world, and we never get any rest. The doctor tell you that it's good. Hey, I tell you what, the doctor said it'd be good, hey man, to have 8 hours of sleep a night. And here the Bible says here, amen, for so He giveth His beloved sleep. You're so caught up in materialism that you're not even getting no rest. And I tell you what, when I don't get no rest, I get grumpy. Amen. Hey, my wife come along and I ain't got no rest. Hey, man, it's not so peaceable in the house because I'm tired. Hey, man, the kids are wanting to play. The kids are wanting this. And I'm tired because I've run myself ragged. And I know there's things that we ought to do. Hey, man, but sometimes we just need to slow down and get a little rest.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, well, preacher, I got to do this. I got to pay the bills. I got to do this. Amen. You'd be amazed what you have to do compared to what you want to do. Trying to help our home this morning.
Amen.
Have a happy home. Amen. And when I got plenty of rest, I'm happy. Amen. And I'm not talking about just being lazy and laying up all the time, but I'm talking about going to, amen, with materialism so much, amen, that you don't ever have no rest and you don't ever have no time with your family. Amen. Amen. Y'all hearing me this morning? Amen. Amen. That word sorrow, that word bread of sorrows means toil or painful toil. Some of you are so tied to your job. Amen. You're miserable. Amen. I pray God help me out of all that.
Amen.
Amen. Help me out of this. But this is where I wanted to get to. It said, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be fruitful vine by the size of thine house. Thy children like olive plants around about thy table. And I tell you what, the Bible says that if a man findeth a wife, he's found a good thing. Now, I know some people would argue with that, but that's still the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
If a man findeth a wife, he's found a good thing. Amen. And so we ought to not just have a labor of the Lord. There's some things you can't handle, and you ought to give it to Him. And we ought to labor for our living, but we ought to have a labor of love, a work of our heart. I tell you what, the Lord didn't give you no woman, amen, that she might just be some kind of slave or somebody under you to the point to where you mistreat her.
Right.
Now, when I first got married, I was a preaching when I first got married, and I was determined. I knew, I'd heard it, the preachers charged me. They say a woman can either make you or break you. And I married that good wife of mine and everything, and I was determined she was not going to break me.
Right.
So anytime she disagreed with me, anytime that she questioned me, anytime that she ever come up against my authority, I tried to squish it right then. Because I knew that a woman could make you or break you. That's what I'd always been told. But you know what? Hey man, the Bible says here that if I'd walk in His ways, my wife should be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Amen. Amen. See, I didn't know. See, I didn't have a daddy, amen, that taught me how to love mama. Amen. My wife didn't have a mama to teach her how to love her husband, which the Bible commands you older women, amen, by the way, amen, to be teachers to love their husband. My wife went, and then I'm running rabbit now, but my wife went to a shower the other day. Somebody's getting married, and they always give advice. And she said, they never give good advice. They always tell her that they better make him wash the dishes. They better make him wash the clothes. They don't never owe nobody. Tell them how that they ought to love them and cherish them, and, amen, and hold them and uplift them and everything. All the women in this world all the time tell them, amen, how you're not letting no man treat you in such way. And I tell you what, I know the reason you women do that is because us men's been so sorry and low down and treated you like dirt. Amen. But I tell you what, when I preach against the home and about the home, I put the full responsibility on the man. Amen. And we've heard a lot of preaching about you women this morning, so y'all cook it up in neutral just for a little while, and I'm going to talk to the men. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 5, amen, that we are the head of the wife. Amen. And so many times we want to take the authority, amen, of Christ, but we don't want to take on the attributes of Christ. Amen. And just because Christ is your head, by the way, and we say, well, I'll die for it any day. But the Lord done a whole lot more than just die for me. Amen. First of all, He made Himself a little lower than the angels. Amen. He came in the form of a servant. Amen. Amen. Lived a perfect life in example to you and I. Amen. You want your wife to do right and be right. Amen. You buck up, amen, and do right yourself. Amen. Quit sitting on your high and holy throne. Amen. Expecting your wife to live better than you live. Amen. and you be an example of your house and be what God called you to be. Amen. I'm much persuaded. Amen. If men get right with God, women would fall right in line. Now that don't give you the excuse, lady, just because your husband don't do right for you not to do right. Now I say this every time I preach on the home. Amen. That if we'd spend more time looking at our own hearts instead of what a man ought to be, you women, every time I preach on a man, you're writing down your notes and you're taking your mental, amen, notes every time that I say something to them where you can get back to the hotel and you say, ha, ha, ha. Amen. Did you hear that preacher tell you? You better do that. Hey, you heard the preacher. But the men's the same way. Amen. Every time somebody says something about the lady or the wife, amen, they're taking their mental notes. And as soon as you get in the car, you're making your jabs towards your wife. And say, boy, that preacher really preached to you. That's right. That's immature and foolish. Amen. What you need to do is take inventory of your own heart. Amen. And pray that God help your wife and give you the strength to be the man you ought to be. Amen. To be that example unto her. And wife, you ought to pray that God give you the strength to be the woman you ought to be and quit looking at one another. Amen. You'll never get right with God and be what you need to be in your home if you're always looking at Him or you're always looking at her. Amen. Saying, well, if they just do this or he just do that. You'll just get right with God, do what you're supposed to do and pray God help him or her do what they need to do. Amen. But we find here, amen, that it says, wives, submit thyselves unto thy own husbands. You go into the book of Peter, it uses a different word. It says the word subjection. Now, subjection is the position in which you are. It is the order of the home. Amen. Amen. The wife is to be subject unto her husband. When the husband ought to be subject, amen, unto Christ. Christ is the head of the husband. Her husband is the head of the wife. Now, God set that up, Brother Shannon, to do that. Amen. But notice here, it was a position. But we use in Ephesians and Colossians, we show an attitude and not a position when we use a different word. It says, submit yourself. Now, a lot of times that we have in our good Baptist homes, in our good Christian fundamental homes, we have a lot of women that's in subjection, but they're not in submission. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, because you can be in subjection, and there's two different ways of getting in subjection. One's by submitting, and one's by surrendering. Right. A lot of people surrender, but never submit. Ever seen how an army would come through a nation, and they'd whoop them? I'm talking about how we did in Iraq. We went through, and boy, we just blowed them up and whooped and everything. And I tell you what, they surrendered to the authority of the Americans, but they never submitted. And we got a lot of wives today that have surrendered because the preacher's hammered on you and your husband's hammered on you, but you never had the work of God in your heart. Amen. Where you willfully submitted unto the authority that the man is. Amen. I see a lot of surrendered wives. But them surrendered wives, you know what they do? They don't have joy in their heart. They're all the time sad. They go around with their head down. Amen. All the time talking about how bad they got it. Amen. They're not happy with their kids. They're not happy with their husband. Every time they get around another woman, all they want to talk about how bad their husband is. Oh, yeah, they do what they're right. They dress right. They go to church. Amen. They do all the things they're supposed to do. But they've not submitted, but they surrendered. Amen. I tell you what, you'll not have a happy home till you submit to your husband. In other words, just say, God, you said I was supposed to submit willfully, just like I submit unto you. The Bible says, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Submit. Now I tell you what, God never did make me bow down. Amen. But I sure am glad that one day I got willing underneath the unction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. After I'd went as far as I could go. Amen. With that great Holy Ghost conviction, I finally said, Lord, it's your ways and not my ways.
Amen.
Amen. Are you submitted this morning, ma'am? Ma'am, look up here at me. Are you submitted unto your husband or have you just surrendered? I'm sure we've got good ladies here this morning. But until you submit to your husband's authority, you're out of the will of God.
You're right.
And you'll never have a happy home until you willingly submit to his authority. Do you have to agree with everything he says? No, I didn't say that. It says submit, amen, unto your husband's. Did it say that you, amen, had to like everything he told you to know? No. He said submit, amen, to His authority, amen. And when you get to the point to where you can submit to your husband, amen, you'll find it easier to submit to God. Amen. You'll find it easier to submit to the other authority. Hey, you'll have an easier time submitting to the pastor's authority. Amen. If you get that word submit down pat. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So we find that there's a lot of things that we need to labor about. Amen. But before I get too far into this, and there's a lot of young people here, and I've seen a lot of young men and young ladies, and they've been doing some courting actions. I've noticed that. I don't know if anybody else notices that, but I notice it. Amen. Ain't none. I thank God. You better. I hope you find them in the house of the Lord.
Yeah. Right.
But let me remind you this. Amen. That the Bible tells you, amen, not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Right.
Now, He tells you not. He said, don't yoke up with a Baptist or a Methodist or a Church of God or nothing like that. He said, don't just yoke up. You can yoke up with a Baptist and still be unequally yoked.
Right, right.
You can yoke up with a Methodist and still be unequally yoked.
Amen.
Amen. You can yoke up with somebody that's got everything right on the outside and still be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Amen.
Right.
So you better make sure they're born again before you get married. Amen. And that they have, amen, submissive towards the Lord. If they're not submissive to the Lord, husband, they're not going to be submissive towards you.
Right.
It's amazing to me how that somebody will have, amen, someone who just rebelled against everything, and then you marry them. You say, I don't know what took place. They was rebellious before you married them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, well, I hope I'm helping you this morning. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But there is a labor of oneness that takes place in a marriage. The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2 or 3 there, it says there that a man is to leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. One reason you're not happy in your home this morning is that you've never left the house.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I live 2 miles or 3 miles or another state from my mom and daddy. Yeah, but you've never left the house. Amen. If you are more submitted to your mom and daddy, wife, than you are your husband, you're out of the will of God.
Amen.
Husband, if you love your mama more than you love your wife, you're out of the will of God. The Bible says you must leave and then you must cleave. Amen. Amen. We got too many people, amen, still hooked up at home. Amen. If you want to be around your mama and your mama take care of you, don't get married and stay at the house. Amen. 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 And every time you and your spouse have some kind of little squabble or disagreement and you run to your mama, what you're doing is sowing discord in your family. What you're doing, you're betraying your spouse and bringing a dishonor to your home. And what you need to do is keep your mouth shut. Amen. And keep your business at the house. Amen.
Amen.
It is none of your mama's business what your husband does.
Amen.
Amen. It is none of your mama's or daddy's business what the wife does. Amen. But you can't handle your own home, so you got to go get reinforcements. And so you run back to mom and daddy because they've always petted you. And they know they'll continue to pet you. And you get out of the will of God. Amen. Hey, let me go ahead and say this. I know this is for the home, but let me go ahead and say this. Mama, leave your children, your married children, alone.
Amen.
Just because you don't like her husband don't mean that she can't be a good wife.
Amen.
Amen. Daddy, just because you don't like her husband, she's done married now, she's not yours no more, she belongs to another man, amen, leave them alone and let God take care of them, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Get out of your children's business. I'm afraid that some of you grandmas and grandpas are causing more trouble in the home than what there's really there,
amen.
Because just because you don't like the way they discipline the children, just because you don't like the way that they treat one another, it is none of your business. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. But stay out of their business. Amen. 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 It says that they were naked and they were not ashamed. Amen. In other words, that they had nothing to hide. Amen. If you want a happy home, you're going to have to be honest with one another. Amen. Amen. Not hide one of those. Amen.
Amen.
Done talked about the labor of the order a little bit there, but I want to get to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. We have a labor in our obligation. And go ahead and turn there. Amen. The Word of God speaks better than I do. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Now, I'll remind you, I was thinking about this morning, and I never had really even thought about it before. But the church at Corinth was in a mess. They were dealing with sins of impurity and adultery and fornication. They were dealing with those sins in 1 Corinthians. And then chapter number 7 comes along, and it seems like it's kind of out of context, but if you really take the whole chapters there going up to that, it's perfectly in context, because now he only pointed out the problem. Now he's given them a solution for what's going on in the church that day. And so he goes on down through there, and he says, "For you to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Let me stop right there just for a second. Yeah. Amen. Do not look at your brothers and sisters and talk about what a good husband or a good wife they've got. Amen. Amen. You keep your eyes on yours.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was teaching this at my home church where I grew up, and there was a lady there, and I taught, and I tell them every place I go, I tell it. I say you need to, amen, get your eyes off the husband and everybody else and everything. And right after the service and everything, I just wish my husband act like you. I wish, you know, if he just had those kind of attributes and everything. You know where they are today?
Yeah.
They're divorced.
Yes, sir.
Because she wasn't willing to look at her own husband.
Right.
He said, "Hey, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and his own husband."
Right.
Guess what? Sister Beth Black's my wife. Quit looking at her.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
She's a good woman. I believe she's the best wife in the world. Amen. But you're not married to her. She's mine.
Amen.
And quit, amen, thinking about if my wife just ain't like Sister Beth, there'd be things. You didn't marry Sister Beth.
Amen.
Amen. You married your own wife.
Amen.
Amen. Take care of your own house. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, wife, hey, don't look at me. Don't look at none of these other men. Amen. And snarl your nose at your husband and say, "Hey, if my husband is just like that, tough luck. You got yours." Amen. Amen. Just love your own husband. Amen.
Amen.
Every man have their own husband. Everybody have their own wife. But what's it say here? "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. Likewise also the wife unto the husband." Now he's not talking about the order of the home here. He's talking about the actions of the home. In the order of the home, he puts everybody in their own place. He puts the man in authority to be the high priest of the home. Amen. And to rule that home. Amen. And to bring that authority over that home and to be who he's supposed to be. He puts the wife in her position in order and puts the children in their order. Amen. But then here he gets here. Amen. He puts obligations between a man and a woman and things that we need to take care of. Amen. The church is dealing with these things. Amen. Here in this passage of the Scriptures. But it says, "Wife hath not power of her own body but the husband. And likewise off the husband have not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be for consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your own inconsistency." Amen. So what he's saying here is that there is natural needs of a man, and that there is natural needs of a woman, and that you do not have power of your own body. Amen. But your spouse and spouse, you don't have power over your own body. Amen. But the other one has power over that body, and you're supposed to always, amen, and give that due benevolence and fulfill those natural desires, amen, that is between a man and a woman. If you ever use yourself and deny your mate, you may be causing them, amen, to sin not only against God, but to sin against you. The only time you should separate yourselves is when you dedicate yourself wholly to God in prayer and fasting, but that's only supposed to be with a time and also with a time of consent, amen, and come back together again and let Satan get in the house.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. And as Brother Shavers has already said so well this morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't have to spell it out. But the Bible teaches us, amen, some obligations of a home. That word "due," amen, means to obligated, that you're obligated to do that. Amen. Amen. Wife, you're obligated. That benevolence means kindness towards one another. In other words, you're supposed to show one another kindness. Amen. Not snarl at one another and fuss at one another and bark at one another, but you're supposed to show kindness. I never understood anyhow. I've seen people do it. Preachers snarl at their wives, and then some sinner or some saint or somebody else comes up in their churches, and they just grin. Oh boy, it's so good to see you today.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
And then they turn the wife and snarl at them. Get back here and do this. Go. They're supposed to be part of your own flesh. You're supposed to love them as your own self.
Right.
Why are you treating everybody else better than you are your own spouse?
Amen. Yeah.
You're out of the will of God.
Yeah.
You need to get right with your spouse first, then come get right with God.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I tell you what, I believe we've had a mistake in ministry today. Amen. We put everybody else first and we let our children and our wives go to hell.
God have mercy.
The Bible gives qualifications for a man that wants to be a bishop. Amen?
Amen.
And we won't talk about being twice married. And that's good. Preach on it. Preach on it. Preach on it. I believe it. But it also says if a man rules not his own house, how can he rule the house of God? And that's more than beating your children and having your wife in subjection. Amen. But it's ruling it well this morning, friend.
Amen.
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 I'm not here to hurt you this morning, but I'm so tired of families falling by the wayside, amen, and being broken and beaten down, and children not knowing what to do. I'm telling you what, we need to do it the Bible way.
Amen.
And so there's obligations, and you need to feel. And if you don't know what those obligations are, husband, you need just to ask your wife. Yeah. Well, I don't talk good. You'd be amazed what you can find out if you just ask. But you better be willing to hear the answer.
Amen.
Why? I never understood why somebody want to ask somebody's need. If somebody come up to me coming out of the desert and they were starving to death and they was thirsty and I could tell that the boy, there was something wrong with them. And I said, what do you need? And they said, just give me a drink of water. And I'd say, ah, you don't mean that. But we do the same thing with our spouses. We see them being starved to death. They're thirsting and thriving just for some emotional connection, just a little attention sometimes. And sometimes we recognize, we'll go to them, we'll say, what's wrong with you? And then when they tell us, we say, you're just being silly. You better watch out.
Amen.
You not paying attention to your spouse and end up in divorce court.
You're right.
Amen. It is your responsibility. The Bible says in 1 Peter, I believe it is, amen, that we ought to dwell with them according to knowledge. How can you dwell with somebody if you don't know them?
Right.
Now, I'll go ahead and say this while I'm right here. That a lot of you put more into your children than you do one another.
Right.
And that's a sin against God.
Yes,
because guess what? You was with your wife before your children ever got there.
Yeah.
And one of these days your children are going to grow up and move
right.
off. And you're going to look over at sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so and you won't even know who they are.
Right.
You so busy, got one playing ball over here. You got one playing ball over here, and you're putting all your attention and all your effort into the children and everything, and you never come together as a husband and a wife and have a time together and just know one another.
Amen.
And then when they're gone, amen, you have nothing to fulfill yourself with one another because you don't even know who you're married to.
Amen.
I know a lot of old folks right now living in that situation, amen. And they growl at one another, and they fuss at one another.
Right.
And they're unhappy. I tell you what, I don't want to be that way, amen.
Amen.
But you know what? The thing about it is, you can put all your time and energy in your spouse and still have time for your children.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So I want to jump to that just for a little while. Brother Shavers has already touched on it a little bit, but you have an obligation to your children. Amen. And one of the reasons that families are unhappy is because your kids make you unhappy. I've seen many people, they say, I can't go out to eat because my kids, they just won't act right. I just can't get nothing out of the preaching because I can't hear them over little Johnny or sister or little Sue. But I'm not Brother Shavers. You know what? I'm bigger than my kids are.
That's right. Right?
Yes.
Amen.
And I'm so sick and tired of hearing that the Bible don't work. I've known people, hey man, that was raised right under godly homes, but when they got their little brats, they said, well, I'm whooping, but it don't do no good. That's hogwash.
Right.
You read throughout the book of Proverbs, it tells you to take the rod and you put it on them. Amen. And Brother Shaver done said it. I just know, live by experience. My kids don't act the way they do just because that they just was born that way. I got two little rebels back there. You say, oh, Brother Shannon, your kids are sweet. They do exactly what I let them do. And your kids do exactly what you let them do.
Amen.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Amen. The reason your children act foolish is because you don't have the guts or the manhood, amen, to beat it out of them.
Amen.
My little girl, my sweet little old Hannah, she was about 2 or 3 years old. We were in church one day, and Joshua's always been kind of pliable. I could just kind of talk to him, whip him just a little bit. He'd be all right. He's always been easily pliable. But Hannah's not that way. She's a rebel. I mean, she's got a strong spirit and a strong, boy, she's very strong-willed. And we was in church one day, and I used to go to a church, and before I started pastoring, they see about 200, or they got about 200 going, and I'm talking about crowd, and we sat on the second pew, because I like to sit up there where the preacher preached. Amen, slobber on my kids and everything, and she decided she was going to cry in church. He said, well, she's just a baby. No, she's going to be quiet in church.
Right.
Amen. And I got my little 2-year-old girl to a little 3-year-old girl up, took her all the way out the back of the sanctuary. I set her down. And by the way, this is the way I always done it. I never whooped them unless I told them first what they was getting whooping for. And I'm so sick and tired of your kids embarrassing you and you getting mad at them and yanking them up and beating them like they're a dog.
Amen.
You're at least telling them what you're beating them for.
Amen.
How you supposed to train them if you don't never tell them what they've done wrong? I've always, and you can take it or leave it, this is the way Brother Shannon does it. Amen. But I always sit there and I say, this is what you've done wrong. What did you do wrong? They tell me what they do wrong. I give them a spanking or a whooping or whatever I'm going to do. I say, what did you do wrong? And they tell me again what they do. I make sure before we leave that training session, before we leave that rod of correction, that they know exactly what they've done wrong, where they can have the opportunity to make the decision not to do it again.
Amen,
Brother Shannon. That's right. Boy, I took her out and I told her, I said, you're not going to cry, you're not going to squirm, you're not going to disrupt church. You're going to sit there and you're going to be quiet.
Yes, sir.
And I whipped her.
Yes, sir.
Took her right back inside and sat down. You know what she did? She started crying, started doing her thing, squirming. She thought, well, I got back in here, people's around, I'll do all right. I took her right back outside and I set her down. I said, we're not going to do this. I'm going to whoop you. And if you do it again, I'll bring you right back out here and we'll do it again. And I said, are you going to do it again? She said, no. I took her right back in. She done the exact same thing. I think it took me 6 times. And each time, I whipped her a little bit harder. Now, she's my darling little girl. And if you put your hands on you, I'll hurt you. But I left marks on her little rear end. You know what my children do when they come in church now? And they may act up bad this afternoon, but guess what? I'll take them right back out.
Amen.
I'm not all the spiritual and everything. Claim my kids act just right because I know, amen, they're subject just like any other kid. Amen, to get out of line. Amen, but I tell you what, the rod of correction will correct them.
Amen.
And you let your children run your life.
Amen.
And it's because you're lazy.
Right.
Amen? It's because you don't have the energy or the time to do what's right. You'd rather give in to their crying and to persevere through what you're going through and make them learn a lesson.
Amen.
I'm preaching right.
Yes, you are.
Amen?
Amen.
I'm trying to help us. Amen. Your children don't have to run your life. Amen. And what you do when you just beat them out of anger, amen, is that you're putting anger in them, my friend. Amen. I see little kids, they'll get in trouble and they'll scowl at their mom and daddy with bitterness and anger. And what they're going to do if you don't get that out of them at a young age, they're going to grow up and be bitter against you and bitter what's right just because you didn't take the time to discipline them right. Amen. One thing my wife cannot stand is a smart mouth little kid. She can't stand it. And she whoops our children if they look at her wrong. She does. She will not put up with it. She demands that we have a happy home. You say, well, you can't make nobody be happy. You whoop them a few times, see how happy they get.
That's right.
She said, you will not look at me like that. You will smile in this house. You will have a happy attitude. You will do these things. And guess what? We pretty much have it most of the time.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
and you can have it too.
Sure. All right.
But you have to dedicate and say, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
And no matter what, I know some children are more pliable than others. I know some, amen, are stubborn than others. But God's Word still works.
Amen.
And if you just keep on with God's Word, it might take a while. Amen. But they'll break. Amen. And have a happy home. Amen. If you don't break them as a kid, they're liable not breaking the conviction of God when they get older.
Amen.
I'm afraid that's why we don't see as many conversions today as we used to.
That's right.
Because our children's never had to break to any authority.
That's right.
And they're rebels, rebels, rebels in their heart.
Amen.
And let me go ahead and say this. Once again, Grandma and Grandpa, stay out of your children's business.
Amen.
If they whoop your little precious little grandbaby and everything, yours say, that's right, son. That's right, daughter.
Amen.
Train them up right.
Amen.
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 Amen. I say it all the time. Don't whoop little Johnny. Oh, let them have this. Let them do that. Oh, they didn't let me do that. Now, I don't know why in the world you expect, hey man, if we treat ours different, that they're going to turn out any better than what we did, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But why do I labor? Back to 128, I labor for a legacy. It says that I will. It says, it gives us a promise there, and I'm done. It says, thy wife shall be a fruitful vine the size of thine house. By the way, she's tender, by the way. She is the weaker vessel. She needs support. If she's ever going to grow, you're going to have to support her into doing that. I think a lot of men's intimidated by their wives. I think so. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. They're afraid that they might be smarter than they are.
Yeah.
Or they might be more spiritual than they are.
Yeah.
But you know what? Every time my wife does something good, it makes me happy. Amen.
Amen.
My wife's very intelligent. Nursing degree. Medical transcription. I'm talking about, she knows all those big words, Brother Mibby. I'm talking about just smart. Homeschools my babies. Teaches them how to read. Teaches them how to do. And I tell you what, I just don't know if I have the mental capacity to do that. But I want to support her in all that she can do. That she might grow, that she might grow, that she might be a vine beside my, a fruitful vine. Amen.
Amen.
During the days of peace, during the days when Solomon was there, the Bible tells us that they laid underneath their vines and ate the fruit of those vines. Amen. Because peace, you want peace in your home, let your wife grow a little bit. Amen. Let her be who she is. Amen. What's your wife good at? Huh? What does your wife like to do? Do you tell her that it's stupid and that she ought not do that? Do you tell her that it's not worth doing, that she's got other obligations, she needs to get in there and cook and do those kind of things? Or do you support her and want her to grow in the Lord and grow who she is? When I first married my wife, y'all know my wife, and I promise I'm trying to hush. But when I first married my wife, she was very introverted, backwards, low self-esteem. And I didn't like that because I knew she was very talented,
sure.
Very smart.
Sure.
Very capable of doing just about anything that she put her mind to. But she had very low self-esteem. And I could have easily, underneath my authority, kept her right where she was at. And I could have snapped my fingers and she'd have done whatever I wanted her to do because she wanted to please me so much. You ask her, she'll say, amen, Sister Beth. Amen. But you know what? I've tried to pump into her how smart she is, how pretty she is, how good she is, and how much she makes me happy. You know what? She's happy. And the more she's happy, the more I'm happy. And so I tell her all the time. I said, what's wrong? She said, ah, nothing, you know, whatever. I said, we just don't seem to be happy, baby. When you ain't happy, I ain't happy. You say, you henpecked, I am. I married her. She's my flesh. The Bible says cleave to one another. That word cleave gives the implication of welding. In other words, we become one. And guess what? If she's one flesh, Adam said this, she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Amen. When my leg hurts, I do something about it.
Right.
And when my wife hurts, I want to do something about it.
Amen.
She's not dumb. She's not stupid. She's not a low on the totem pole. She's my flesh. She's
amen.
My wife, and I love her. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And when she's happy, I'm happy. Amen. But this Bible says here, it says the wife shall be fruitful vine by the size of thine house. Don't be intimidated by your wives, husbands. Amen. Amen. Don't be intimidated. But it also said the children like olive plants around about thy table.
paints a picture of how that back in the days when they were harvesting the olives and everything, they take out a lunch and they'd maybe get down there in the middle, amen, and the shade of those olive trees would shine, kind of block out the sun, and they'd sit there in peace and enjoyment, amen, because of the shade of those olives. I'm hoping one of these days, amen, I'm trusting that the Lord help me, that one of these days when I'm old, amen, that I'll be able to lay down in peace. And my children have such characters and standards, amen, and such lives, amen, that I can rest in what they become. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to rest in what they become. But notice what it says here. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. I told you I come from a mess. Come from a broken home. Daddy, sorry, just left a note. Sorry. He's on about his fourth or fifth. It's sad.
It is.
My wife come from a broken home. But you know what? It don't say if my grandpa was a godly man, I could be a godly man and have a godly home.
Sail.
It didn't say if my daddy, hey man, feared the Lord, that I would have fear. It says, blessed be the man that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways.
Yes, sir.
I thank God that I didn't got to be like Daddy. I thank God that I ain't got to be my granddaddy. You say, well, you say, my granddaddy was an adulterer. My uncle was an adulterer. Hey, man, I come from a long line of adulterers. But through the power of the Holy Ghost and salvation of God, I do not have to go down the same road that they went. But I can have a godly home. I can have a happy home. I can have a legacy that my children can hold on to. But I must walk in the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
And I don't know who's here this morning, who ain't here, and I don't know what situation you're in or what situation you're not in, but I know God's able to take care of it.
Amen.
We got to walk His ways.
Amen.
Amen. You can have a happy home. Amen. I hope that you do.
God bless you. Amen.